walk the straight and narrow, and I've worn a rebel's brand. Sometimes I've had to go without for being my own man. I've rallied to the cause when I knew the cause was right. Yes, I've cut against the grain, but I've kept my peace of mind. And I wouldn't have it any other way. If there's a price for being me, well, that's what I'll have to pay.
Amen to that, folks. If there's a price to pay for being me, it's a price I'll have to pay, and pay it gladly. Well, welcome back, folks, to the Rebel and the Renegade Roundtable discussion, and we are blessed today with two very good friends from out there on the western slope of Colorado, both of whom were, you know, man, if somebody wanted to be a commissioner, you could pattern yourself after either of these two gentlemen, and you would be spot on. So, that's my opinion. Yes, sir.
Hey,
Go ahead.
It's not good to lie to the folks there now. You hear me?
I'm not lying, and you know it.
you're most generous. You're a very generous man.
Well, the truth is the truth, Keenan, and it always will be. You fellas, I watched you. You guys fought for the people of the county. You didn't fight for yourselves. You didn't do all of the other stuff. You know, you fought for the people, what was best for the people of your county. And that's what it's supposed to be about. And that's the only reason that I registered to vote again. Where you two guys are responsible for that.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that, Mike. Larry, Don, and I, our motives were in the right place for us becoming commissioners, and I agree with that 100%. We were not in that for any kind of a self-serving position in that county government. So I'll agree with you wholeheartedly.
Well, the only thing that I had a problem with Larry, Don, is when he had his picture made with, what was her name, the Speaker of the House that time?
I did not have my picture made with Nancy Pelosi.
Well, I'm going to tell people you did anyway, LD.
You had to like brown me up. Your tail and I did. It was so simple. And you've got over 7,000 county commissioners in the United States, including Alaska and Hawaii. And a lot of them believe that when they went there, that they worked for the county. And Commissioner Tell and I believe that we work for the people. The people voted for us. But as soon as you get elected, they send you for 3 days. They do this in every state. Mm-hmm. They send you to a commissioner orientation, and they try to brainwash you to persuade you to believe that you work for that you are an arm of the state government, and you work for the state of Colorado and the county. And as long as you do whatever is best for the people, the county will flourish. If you try to do what's best for the county, yes, you can make the county. There's a lot of things that's good for the county that's not good for the people. And so if commissioners would just take that one bit of advice and do whatever's best for the people, then the county will flourish.
Well, I tell you what, I know that both of you gentlemen, when I was teaching Constitution classes, both of you gentlemen attended. I remember on many occasions, but, as I'm talking to you guys, you know, so many wonderful memories flow back into my mind. You know, like I mentioned that truck ride, you know, LD, that we took up there into Groundhog and into that area, and you took me to, you know, your property up there, and we spent the better part of a day. And many times while we were riding around, we were doing philosophical or political discussions, you know, not politics as most people would think, but as others go. And then the other thing that I will never forget as long as I live is I have no idea how many miles that Keenan and I spent on our Harleys exploring the Navajo Indian Reservation. We had some wonderful times, and I'll never forget something you said to me, Keenan, one time. We had, I forgot where it is, where we actually went on one of our day trips, but I'll never forget two things. I'll never forget that. And one of them was, you said, you know, this is really strange. I've lived here all my life and I didn't even know all these places existed on the reservation.
Yeah. That's when you took me to Lukachukai and up over Buffalo Pass, buddy. I'd never been anywhere near that. That was the most beautiful view of the whole basin, the whole basin area. I mean, the Ute Mountain, Shiprock, La Plata. I mean, it's the most beautiful view I've ever seen.
How many people even know that place is there, Keenan?
Very few, but I've taken a couple of my biking buddies up there, and they're just as impressed as I was.
Well, good, buddy. And then I'll never forget that day we stopped at a Navajo trading post, and the bathroom was out of order. And who went in and got down? This is the kind of man Keenan Ertel is, folks. We were on the Navajo Indian Reservation at a trading post, and they had a sign up that the bathroom was out of order. Guess who went in there and fixed it? Keenan Ertel.
I unplugged that baby, didn't I?
Yeah, he did. And when he came back outside, I said, damn, Keenan, I didn't know you had to go that bad.
We had some fun, Michael.
Oh, we did, buddy. We had some wonderful time together, and I'm sure most of the folks don't really care about that. We're talking about a different subject, but, you know, you guys were just, in my opinion, just the salt of the earth. And when I think about America, it's a gentleman like you two that I think about, along with many others, like my old buddy Whitey here. But that is, you know, it's just so different that the people are being so oppressed by the government they think is protecting them. And it certainly is not, not in any way, shape, form, or fashion. LD, your comments, please, sir.
Well, I would just say that actually one of the main reasons I'm running is not to, each lawmaker can ask for five bills, which is five new laws. And so I'm going up there. And a lot of these lawmakers, for some reason, they think it's a badge of honor if they get a law passed. I'm going up there to repeal bad laws, period.
Amen.
I don't care if my name is on one law. We are overregulated. They can't understand why houses cost so much. It's because the government permits and all the different regulations. And if we're ever going to get back to our freedoms, we cannot regulate ourselves out of business, and that is what the government is doing. Why is it that when times are bad for the people, the government is always asking for another tax or another tax? Why doesn't the government suffer just along as well as the people? That's the way that it's supposed to work.
Well, absolutely. And folks, you folks have been listening to me on RBN here for a while, and you know that I do not believe in voting. I've stated that on many occasions, but yet I'm here tonight to tell you that I registered to vote just to vote for these two gentlemen. And if you listen to them, you'll understand why.
Hey, Michael, I'm going to tell you one way that I knew Larry, Don, and I were doing our job. We had three Democratic sisters, M.B. McAfee, Gayla Pock, and Ellen Foster.
We had
them come. They started coming to every damn commissioner meeting we had to monitor us, to raise every type of dysfunctional disagreement, everything that they could to stalemate us. And they did that at least our entire second term, our second 4 years. They've disappeared. Now they're gone. You know, it's all over with. And so that's kind of my badge of honor. I made those three women come in there and have to be proctors of our meetings for us. It was kind of funny.
Well, you know, Keenan, I know all three of the women you're talking about. I know that they're so far to the left that their cars won't turn right. But I can also tell you this, that if you put their brains, you know, if you took their brains and multiplied it 10,000 times and put in a gnat's ass rattle like a BB in a boxcar.
Well, they were interesting for damn sure. for them.
Oh, yes, but the thing that got to me is when I would challenge them, you know, when they would come mm-hmm. to the planning and zoning meetings.
Yeah.
I would challenge them, and they didn't even know what words meant.
Well, but they were bulldogs. They were on us, man. They were on us.
Yeah, they were on you like a chicken on a June bug. I saw that on multiple occasions. Stephen, you got any questions for our gentleman here before we take one of our callers from over there in La Plata County?
That sounds like the bulldog there trying to tear down everything you did for the people. That's the county. I don't know. I can just picture what you're saying. Let's go ahead and take the caller. That's pretty interesting. I can picture the meetings that you're having, you know. Around here, I'll just say this. Around here, county government has built this huge monstrosity, like $1 billion or something on this building, and it's like a big old it's a statement in itself. Infuriating, especially if you pay your property taxes are doubling or tripling.
Yeah,
stuff,
yeah, you know, you're the taxpayer building.
So, yeah.
Well, gentlemen, if you don't, I think we're probably going to come up with some questions here, but we've got an old friend of mine from Archuleta County. Or is it La Plata County? Anyway, he's over there on that side, and he is a sheep farmer, a good friend. His name is Steve Keno. Steve, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Mike. I'm sitting here having a good time because I'm finally listening to people that I can relate to.
Well, I thought so. Do you have any questions? I know that... Larry Don, will your district cover La Plata County?
No, Archuleta County.
Archuleta, I'm sorry.
No, it does not. That's District 59, 58 is half of Montezuma County to Gunnison County and Hinsdale County.
Okay. Well, anyway, Stephen, Steve Keno, you have any questions, sir, or comments to these two gentlemen?
Well, number one, I wanted to give them a little bit of background on me. I've been a sheep rancher here for the last 30 years, and I free graze. And I fought the county and the metro district. I've been to court 7 times, even did a week in jail for contempt of court, all over sheep.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Steve.
I was just wondering, because we've been under attack. Archuleta County, we had a deal here where we were going to succeed and go into New Mexico, part of New Mexico.
Yeah.
That's what our plan was here. And... I was wondering if either one of you, because we've been under attack now forever from them people over on the eastern slope, and I'm real involved and everything. I used to tell people that I'm not a retardicant and I'm not a Democrat. And I used to tell people I was a constitutionalist, and then I met Mike and he straightened me out about that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I was wondering if...
So what's the question?
Either of you gentlemen actually studied our Enabling Act?
Understand the Enabling Act?
Have you studied it?
No, I have not.
No.
Well, let me just read the first part, when we became a state, they turned our Enabling Act back to us 2 times, and on the 3rd try, they finally accepted it. Congress finally accepted it for us to become a state. And in big bold letters right up at the top of it, it says Enabling Act, an act to enable the people of Colorado to form a constitution and state government, and for the admission of the said state to, into the Union on an equal footing with the original states, which they've never done.
Mm-hmm.
All federally lands were supposed to be returned to us, like they did in the eastern states. And that never happened. So right now, the BLM and the Forestry Service are in contempt of Congress because they never returned our land to us.
Yeah.
Well, Congress is in contempt of Congress.
But, well, yeah.
Yeah, it's Larry, Don, would you like to address Mr. Keno, the sheep farmer here?
Well, I would address him on his sheep that I would know more about, and that is that when they did the omnibus bill, I don't know if you remember when they said that the truck drivers could only go to 8 hours, and then they had to pull over for 8 hours when they made that new rule for our trucking companies. I actually worked with a trucking company out of Kansas and went back and got a bill passed to be in the Omnibus Act for to give an exemption for livestock hauling. And I used sheep as an example. So it was me and a commissioner out of Meeker, Colorado, which is Rio Blanco County. And that example was this. If you was to load 400 lambs on a truck in Montezuma County, and you was going to take it to the slaughterhouse in California, it would have to stop in Phoenix, Arizona. Well, if you stop that tin can, that truck in Phoenix, Arizona, after 8 hours, and it had to stay there for 8 hours in 100-degree weather, when the truck driver woke up, every sheep would be dead.
Yes.
And so we worked on that and got that passed for an exemption for livestock haulers. It was an animal welfare issue. It was not a safety issue. You could jump in a $500,000 RV. You don't even have to have a CDL. You can drive across the country, and you don't ever have to take a nap if you don't want to. So that's the thing why I'm running for government. We have so many stupid laws that needs to be repealed.
Amen.
Well, they
Amen.
Don't use common sense. There isn't a single one of them up there in our state capital that have any imagined common sense.
Well, they've never worked, Keno. They've never actually worked a job. Now,
well,
see, that
I don't know if you guys had the same problem we did down here. I mean, they've been doing this stupid stuff. They introduced the links down here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have.
And that started. Now they introduced the wolves up there in your country, up in northern Colorado, northwestern Colorado. And now these people are. I read an article here the other day where they're wanting to catch grizzly bears and reintroduce them in the state of Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can tell you how smart they are. So we have spent millions of dollars to save the sage grouse in Gunnison County. We don't have
it. Oh, my.
Richard Kell and I stopped that, but Dolores County, all here on the Western Slope, millions of dollars to save this bird and not letting some people farm. And then they turn around and they release a predator that will eat the sage grouse that we spent millions of dollars to make. Correct? Then the other thing I'm on environmentalists because there were, in my opinion, there are what is destroying this country is these environmentalists and their climate change hoax. And the climate does change. It changes every day. It always has. But when they start saying that a cow is bad for the environment, when a cow eating grass is the environment. That is how simple this is. These people are out of their minds, and I want to go up there, and I want to fight them because they're ludicrous thinking that we can't have fossil fuels. They will kill us all if we get rid of fossil fuels.
Have you ever thought that might be the goal, LD, to kill us all?
Yeah.
Well, you know, one thing my grandma... Excuse me just a second, Steve. One of the things my grandfather taught me, and it was all of his logic was very simple, and he always told me, boy, don't try to make sense out of people that don't have any.
Just to let you guys know, I'll be 77 the 1st of June. I still run this little sheep ranch all by myself.
You're just a kid in diapers.
For punishment.
Well, Keenan, I hadn't heard your comments, sir. Would you jump in, please?
Well, on which part, Mike? What do you want me to comment on?
The idiocy, you know, this thing that you guys fought against, you guys worked so hard, and I'm a witness to that. I'm a witness to what you guys did for that county and how hard you worked and how much that the people of that county meant to you. And so that means a lot, I think, and it should, because you guys are about as rare as hen's teeth. Because most people who run for office want to have dominion and control over their constituents, not to help them. Yeah. And that's why, would you speak to that, Keenan, to the best of your ability, please, sir?
Well, Mike, I think it all comes down to a basic, what are your motives for what you're doing? What motivated me to become a commissioner? And I'll tell you, Steve Chappell came to me. I didn't have it in the back of my mind to become a commissioner until Steve Chappell corralled me one day, and he says, Keenan, Larry Rule is going out as commissioner, and they want to get his wife, Pat, in there as commissioner and keep this Rule deal going in the camp. And Pat thought she was queen of the county. And he
no
said,
kidding.
We got to do something different. He said, we got to stop this train. So that was my primary motive, was to hopefully derail something that I felt was inappropriate and not good. But then after that thought had passed, it was my ideal was to go in and see how I could benefit Montezuma County by being one of the governing people in that county to make the county work and do better things for the county and get rid of some of their, they had millions and millions. They were like a bank. All these other commissioners had just started war chesting money. We had money in there like you couldn't believe, and not spending it on roads, infrastructure, better than any. I mean, I think that's where Larry, Don, and I first saw our glint of what we were going to do, and we were going to spend some of those dollars that they had war chested up. Which, you know, I didn't pay my taxes for the county to become a bank. You know, be my banker. We decided we wanted to move some of that money out to benefit the citizens of the county. So, but I truly think, Mike, everything in in business, politics, or whatever you do, what are your motives for what you're doing? And you taught me this, qui bono.
Who profits?
Yeah. So that,
well, folks,
we want the citizens.
Mike, if I may.
Hold on a second, there, Kino, and then we'll get you in here. Folks, I want to tell you something just about the character of these two men, and I'm going to tell you something about Keenan, and he might get upset with me for giving this away. But I have sat in restaurants with Keenan, and, well, the first thing he would tell the waitress is never give the ticket to that guy right there pointing at me because he's a very poor tipper.
I think I used a different word than that, but yeah, you got.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to be nice here, Keenan. But Then the other thing that I will always remember about him is I have sat in restaurants and we have had tourists coming through. And they would be sitting there and, you know, you could tell they were tourists. They were talking about this. They were talking about that. And I have seen Kenan call the either the waiter or, you know, someone that we knew like Benny and call them over and tell them, I'll cover their meal. I'll cover their meal. You know, that, and he said, and he wouldn't tell them anybody that it was coming from him. He would just say, thanks for visiting us here in Montezuma County. And to have the waiter tell him that. That is the character of one of the men. And Larry Don has the same character. I've seen it from these men. But Stephen, you, Steve in Keno. I'll get it right in a minute. Keno, you had a comment, sir.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I thought that maybe he was going to be my representative because Jay Paul was my representative when he was in the in our state legislature.
Yeah, Jay Paul Brown.
You know, I know, Steve, that you like him.
I told you, Mike, he turned against me for a little bit because they were feeding him a bunch of BS. And when he finally found out that he was being lied to by these other people that were coming after my sheep, then he apologized to me. And that kind of smoothed everything over.
In my personal conversations with him, he didn't know whether to scratch his watch or wind his ass. So that's...
Can I
make
a comment about something you said?
Please do, LD. Please do.
Well, you said the word dominion, which, or maybe, and that would be voter integrity, in my opinion. And I have a theory about voter integrity, and I'd like to share it.
So, please do.
I'd love to hear it.
Well, if you have a business and you have all your books in order, and you have an employee that is skimming money off of you, you can find the fraud within 15 minutes because everything's in order.
Yes.
Agreed?
Yeah, agreed.
The way that I'm using a business talking about our voting. So if you make it to where there is chaos, we had a lawyer, Ertel and I had a lawyer, and we would want him to do something. And when we would tell him to do something, he would write, we knew exactly what we wanted, but the way that he would write it would be vague. And Ertel and I would say, why are you making this vague? And he said, so it gives us a way out. It gives us a way out. Right? So now I'm talking about voting. If you make it so complicated and so many different ways of voting, there's no way. It makes it harder to find the fraudster. Are you seeing what I'm saying here?
Yeah, no, totally. Yeah.
Hey, guys, if we can, we're about to come up on a break here. And Keno, buddy, really appreciate you, but we got to drop you because our
board is... I just wanted to make one more statement, Mike.
Please do it. Please do it.
All these years, 5 years ago, I was such a pain in the rear end that they grandfathered my sheep and grandfathered my ranch.
Good on you, man.
That's a good pain in the butt. Okay, here comes the music, folks. We'll be back on the other side. Ragtag band to bring a revolution. Some would make him king. Others couldn't stand for that. The cross was a solution, but he rose again. Wise men follow him, but he rose again. Wise men follow him. Thank God for the renegades.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey,
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly, and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
The Rebel and the Renegade Roundtable. I'm jumping in a little early because we've got a lot of things to take care of here. And first of all, I would like for Tino, do you have any final statements out there? And so we can clear up a line, my friend. Oh, looks like he's gone. Okay. Pardon me? Oh, okay. All right. Thanks, buddy. And so now I certainly don't want to, push my co-host here in the ditch. So, Stephen Douglas Whitener, do you have any questions or comments for our gentleman?
No, I just we can. I just enjoy listening to y'all talk here. I don't just go on the caller if you'd like to, sir.
Well, thank you, buddy. And waiting on the queue here is our good friend from down in Texas, none other than Lark. Lark, how you doing, buddy? And do you have any questions or comments from our two former county commissioners here?
Well, yeah, if you don't mind, I feel like I'm just butting in, but what the heck, you know, I'm here now, so... first of all, quick question, and then a comment. Are either of y'all, or any of y'all familiar with Amory and Hunter Lovins, L-O-V-I-N-S, Amory and Hunter Lovins, L-O-V-I-N-S?
Well, Lark, we're not going to talk about your former girlfriends here.
No, these people are instrumental in a lot of things that happened up in Colorado.
I'm kidding, buddy.
Yeah, I used to live in Colorado in the 70s, okay? And in the 90s, I had a guy who used to work for me, and he decided he was going to go up to Colorado. This guy liked to hunt and fish more than anything in the world. And he felt like his career was going in nowhere. He goes up to Colorado and he meets this girl at a club. He's not much of a club goer. He's a country boy all the way. You know, he wears Wranglers and boots, and he's humble, and he's kind of shy around girls and everything else. But he sees this pretty girl, a little bit chubby, with a group of girls at a loud nightclub of some sort. And he gloms onto her. Well, they fall in love. They get married. They have three children. She turns out to be the only daughter of the guy that is the founder of the Colorado Nature Conservancy and a former member of the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve Bank. At one time reputed to be the largest private landowner in the state of Colorado. His name is Bud Collier.
Oh, yeah.
You don't find anything about good old Bud anymore on the internet. He's probably passed on, but you know, anybody that's lived in Colorado ought to be familiar with these folks, and especially Amory and Hunter Lovins. But my only comment, you know, and y'all can answer, and I'll get off air and get out of the way, but. You know, Fletcher Prouty pointed out years ago where this idea of fossil fuel came from, and you can still find it on YouTube. I mean, you know, it's an abiotic fluid, and I just recoil in horror every time I hear the good guys even use their term. Because that's all it is. It's just a deceptive term of art, this thing called fossil fuel. There ain't no such thing. And just like climate change is a hoax. But lastly, I'll just point out a couple of names that are worthwhile, you know, for us octogenarians here. But, you know, if y'all are on Facebook, you can look at a woman. Her name is Julianne Romanello, who lives in Tulsa. And the work that she's doing regarding how they're going to take your property, your ranch, your farm, and your home.
Yeah.
How they're going to do it. Because they got a plan, and they're going to make it so cost prohibitive that you can't farm, you can't ranch, and you can't even own a home. So that would be a good name to be familiar with. I mean, I remember I spoke to... Hartford Van Dyke before he died. The man was in his 90s. And he still got a memorial website up. You can still buy his books. But the fact is, there's a whole lot of things that we just forget to talk about or we overlook. You know, most of us are not lawyers. You know, we're not policy
Thank God.
Expert. I mean, I don't even read a newspaper anymore, so I understand. But, yeah, there's just a whole lot of things that we're overlooking in our games, you know, is all
but
I'm
Mark.
Suggesting.
Yeah, good, buddy. But do you have any questions for our two guys here?
I just posed them.
Well, you asked them if they knew about L. Hunter Lovins. So, you know,
yep.
LD, Keenan, who wants to go first?
I don't know that name at all. I'm not familiar with that person or persons at all.
These are people that shaped Colorado politics since the 60s and the 70s to what we see today.
Okay.
Well,
okay, I'll send that to both of you gentlemen on that. But, LD, did you have a comment?
Well, he's right about the fossil fuels. I'll call it petroleum. What's the difference when they told us that it's not the dump anymore, it's the landfill. They told us that it's not a logging road, it's a fire road, when the loggers are the ones that build all the roads up in the forest. So
yep.
they change our words for us. What was it before climate change? I mean, they just go on and on and on, and the Democrats are very good at it. But he's right. It's petroleum product.
Well, you do know, guys, that, you know, you can, if you will just pay enough taxes, the temperature will drop.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well,
isn't that what they're saying? But, you know, thanks for your call, Lark. And you mentioned a guy, God rest his soul, a man I met in that building with four walls and a spare. And I had done a briefing back when I was with that No Such Agency. And I'll never forget, if you want to talk about a statist, I was about as strong a statist as anyone could ever be. Back in the late 60s, early 70s. I mean, I was, you know, rah, rah, wave the flag, all this other stuff. And we were in a meeting in the Pentagon, and I made a comment, and of course, Colonel Prouty was at the table, and I went into my dissertation about how wonderful everything is, and my country, right or wrong, it's still my country. I was doing my spiel. And he sat there and listened very patiently to me until I finished. And then he looked across the table and he said, "Gaddy?" I said, "Yes, Colonel." And he said, "You're full of shit." So it took me some time. You know, I spent some time with him and a good friend of mine, God rest his soul as well, Command Sergeant Major Chuck Eatley. Chuck and I used to drive over to McLean, Virginia, very near CIA headquarters, and we would have dinner or talk with Fletcher Prouty. What a patriot. Folks, if you can go on YouTube and find his stuff, he was just a fantastic patriot. Probably did as much for turning me around and getting me to look at things as they really were as anybody in history. So now I think we've got James in Vancouver. James, you still with us, buddy? I'm sorry to make you hold so long.
And now I know why I really love you, Mike. I'm fantastic. You know, you knew Fletch, right? That's fantastic.
Fletch was
fantastic.
He's the one who gave me the bottom floor information and told me so many things about the JFK assassination.
Yeah,
and most people did not know that Fletch Prouty was actually the liaison between JFK and the Joint Chiefs of Staff.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And he took over that very famous memo after the Bay of Pigs, took it to sent it over with Prouty and said, "You give this to the Joint Chiefs." And I just forget the number of it, but it was National Action Memorandum, but I forget the number. But I listened to that gentleman for hours, starting 10-plus years ago. So, But you, I had a question, if I could. Yeah, go ahead.
Please, 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 James, questions for our two gentlemen here from Colorado. Any question you have, shoot it.
Yeah, well, I just think that in Colorado, they must have a kingpin there. That's how these states work. I mean, there's been past kingpins, but does anybody know who the new kingpin is that's in the shadows? Back to you.
Well, I know that I was trying to think. Karl Rove, who they call the brains, who they call Bush's brain. Karl Rove actually came to Colorado when Ken Buck was running for Senate. I forgot what year it was, and Karl Rove, who had nothing to do with Colorado, came to Colorado, told Ken Buck he needed to run for Congress in the 4th District, and then he brought in his own candidate. Maybe one of you two gentlemen from Colorado can remember the candidate that they put in for Senate back then.
Hmm.
And 94% of his campaign money came from outside of the state of Colorado.
I'm more likely to believe Michelle Malcolm and the Rocky Mountain Heights, and I believe it's Democrats, Polis with his money, and that group that has changed Colorado the way it is.
Oh, yeah, well, you know, I don't even, let's please don't get me started on Polis. I think I'm probably going to say some things I probably shouldn't say, but anyway, James, any other questions, sir, before we turn it back to these two wonderful gentlemen from Colorado?
Yeah, one more comment, if I could, and then I'm going to hang up. 64 years ago, I was on a winter vacation with my parents, and we toured all the way from the Canadian border right down to L.A. We lived in L.A. for a couple months with relatives. We came back by way of Denver. And I'll never forget Denver. I was walking the streets, and I could feel the altitude. But this is the first time in my life I saw men on the streets with no limbs. And they're selling pencils and hats, okay? And right. I just want to, that made an impression on me, gentlemen, and that's going to stay with me for the rest of my life. So I just thank you for your time.
Oh, thank you, James. And I just wanted to thank you, James. God bless you, brother.
You're welcome back.
One thing I wanted to tell Larry Don, I wanted to tell him, you know, Larry Don, I wish I was still in Colorado because I would bust my butt to get you elected, buddy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not because you're. Battle.
Well, you're certainly deserving, and then again, let's also ask our buddy there from folks. I tell you what, I have never laughed so much in all my life, and it's just such a wonderful experience for me to have LD and Keenan here on tonight because it brings back so many memories. But I don't think anyone ever made me laugh more than Keenan when he talked about his experiences as an undertaker. Now, I'm not going to ask you to repeat any of those, Keenan, about.
Well, Michael,
I tell you what, made me laugh.
Yeah, well, Michael, that picture I sent you here a month or two ago of Alvin and you and me sitting in front of the scoreboard at the funeral home, And we were all three of us laughing our butts off. And I know about why. I have no idea what we were laughing about. But I remember several sessions in that funeral home office where we had some.
Oh my goodness!
Good
yes. Oh my goodness!
Yeah.
Yes. And with your dad,
Yeah,
and some good times there. And also, one of the things that Susanna and I have talked about many times is that time you guys were so gracious to invite us to your mom and dad's place for Christmas that year.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
What a great time we had. I mean, that was that was something else. And but you know, guys,
that's what friends are for, buddy.
Well, I tell you what, I appreciate you two gentlemen. And it's been such a pleasure to have you both of you on here again. And Larry, Don, anything that I can do from where I am to help you with that, you know, if there's anything you ever need, I am a text message away or a phone call away. So don't forget it, please, sir.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Well, if there's
can you tell me how to navigate special interest groups that are contacting me?
Well, I tell you what, let's talk on the phone about that, because I don't want to give away my strategy here on the air.
There you go.
Yeah, let's talk about that. I think there's a lot of things we can bring up, because there's one thing I can tell you from my years of study. Is what the average politician knows about the Constitution would fit in a thimble and rattle like a BB in a boxcar. So one of the things you can do is you can challenge them repeatedly on the oath they took to uphold and defend, which they're not doing. And I have found, LD, do you remember when we had the, I'm trying to think, we had it at the Lions Club or something there, and it was an election time, and we brought in the candidates, and we asked them constitutional questions. Do you remember that?
I do remember that. At the
and nobody could, and nobody could answer them. Elks Club, that's right, Elks Club. And nobody could answer them. Well, I think when you come into this, I and it would be my strategy if I were in your place, I'd start asking these people a whole lot of constitutional questions that none of them can answer, and you might as well expose them for what they are.
Just my thoughts.
So, Stephen Douglas Whitener, any questions for these two gentlemen, sir?
That sounds like a good strategy. I was, I hope that you get elected. I mean, that would give you a chance to pose those questions there at the State House, I guess, that, because you know that nobody, I think you're right about the people around here, too, in that regard, Mike, too. If I was to ask any of the, I bet the state representatives who wouldn't even know, you know?
Well, I, that, the
it's
one
all
thing,
about, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, Stephen. Go ahead, buddy.
Go ahead.
No, the one
they're
thing I remember...
Always all about lining their own pocket, as you pointed out, sir, yeah. More than anything else. Yes, sir.
The one thing I remember was, you know, I used to do classes in Fort Smith, Arkansas. And I did classes for quite some time. And then I got an invite to come to a group because they were planning on, you know, they had asked me to come there because... They didn't know the questions to ask candidates, so they asked me to come. And it was called, they called themselves the Q&A, Questions and Answers Group. And they had quite a, you know, they would have 60, 70 people at their meetings. And I'll never forget, and as a matter of fact, I was actually debating a state senator, whom I will not name, but anyway... I was debating him on a provision that had been offered to the Arkansas Constitution. And we were having this debate. And by the end of the debate, and I'm not patting myself on the back, but by the end of the debate, he agreed with me. Because I kept asking him constitutional questions he could not answer. And so that was very interesting. But I asked the group that day, the Q&A group, probably 70, 80 people there in attendance. And I asked them point blank. Many of them were judges. Many of them were representatives or senators from the state of Arkansas. And I asked them a question. I said, folks, if I were to sit down today and prepare you a test on the Constitution, how many of you could pass it? Raise your hand. Not one person raised their hand. Not one. And I think that's very indicative. Well, in 2022, the former mayor of Fort Smith got in touch with me, Bill Vines, and he said, you know, we're having some people come in, to ask him about the election in 2022, various elections we got going. Could you tell me some things I might want to ask him? And I said, well, Bill, bring them all in, sit them all down, all the candidates, and start asking them constitutional questions, because that's what they all do. They swear to uphold and defend that Constitution. I said, so ask them questions on what they are planning to endorse. And he said, I'll never forget this. He said, Mike, if I did that, nobody would ever come back again. So that's what we're dealing with. And guys, man, I tell you what, these 2 hours have just flown by. We've got a few minutes left. LD, would you like to close us out with your thoughts, please, sir?
Well, my thoughts are going to be, I'm going to ask you guys a question. And that question is I believe that I'm fighting for the freedoms of our children. And if you was in my position and you was up on the stage, what would you do to get people to vote for you?
Great question. Great question. Stephen, you want to go first?
I just did tell them that you represented the people and not the corporation. That's point. Guess what you're pointing for, coming from, stand on what you've done already. You Mike said that you represented the people in the county level, so you're standing for the people at a different level now. I'm gonna do it in the state now, when you are going to be elected, is it going to be people, rural people, all voting for you, or is it a mix of both? It'll be a mix of both, won't it? Both. And standing up for the kids too is another thing that that's what would get my attention, because I see what our grandkids are gonna, the way they're coming, being brought up now, just horrifies me.
We got a minute left, guys. Let me let Keenan close us out in that last minute, and let me, before you close us out, Keenan, I just want to tell you, Larry, Don, Keenan, it has been a pleasure having you guys on here. So, Keenan, you want to close us out, buddy?
Sure, Michael, and it has been. It's been very, very heartwarming for me to be on the air with you and Larry Don and Mr. Whitener. If I were Larry Don, I would tell the people of that district that I need your vote so that I can do my very best job, my very best work for you, your family, and your county and your cities. And I want to see you prosper. I want to see your children have something other than a Marxist education, but I want to see the dollars that are spent on education be bountiful and good education, and that I'm going to do everything in my power to make your lives better. And I do not have a personal agenda for being here. And if a lobbyist comes up and wants to take me out to lunch, I'm going to tell him to go screw himself.
Big time. Larry, Don, you and I need to talk. I've got some things I want you to throw out there when we get to that. And we will do it. Folks, support RBN. This has just been fantastic. I have enjoyed this so much. And let me tell you, LD and Keenan, God, I miss you guys. I miss you a lot.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email proudsouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Your are listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.